Blog Talk Radio.
Information about the Eagles. How about those birds, huh? It is Tuesday, December 18th. It is 7 o'clock in the East. We're live from Tampa, Florida, from Tampadelphia, a loyal group of Eagles diehards based here in Tampa. Too stubborn to change. Too into our Eagles. Well, what a week. Are you still smiling? I know I am. Got to tell you what. Man, what a game we had on Sunday. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. They save some of the best games for the nighttime, don't they? Got some good stuff to share with you today. First of all, let me tell you what's going on. This show is for Eagles fans. It's by Eagles fans. It's for Eagles fans. Anybody that wants to call in can. I'm going to be making a couple of points throughout the show tonight. I turn it over to you. You have the mic. You say what you want to say. You agree, you disagree, you come up with your own information. Our call-in number is 657-383-1614. 657-383-1614. Check in, because it's a crucial turning point here in the Eagles season. We've crossed a bridge. There's no going back. And it looks to me like we're going to be in for a roller coaster ride, maybe for the rest of the season. The roller coaster ride may not be what you think. I mean, you're probably thinking I'm talking about Nick Foles, but I'm not. The roller coaster ride is going to be the road to the playoffs, because there's two or three other teams affecting our getting there. So every week is going to be who did what. And we're going to be possibly looking at the Eagles going into the wild card position in the playoffs. Do you believe it? I would have never figured. Folks, we've had about 15 different Eagles on and off the injured list all year. We're talking starters. We're talking twos or threes or walk-ins. We're talking starters. Now, you only have 22 starters on a team. For 15 of them to have been dinged up, this is the year of the player that didn't take the field. And we still, with our backups, with our twos, threes, and our walk-ons, our practice squad players, we beat one of the best teams in the NFL. Granted, we caught them at the right time. Granted, we're peaking at the right time. Granted, we had a change of quarterback maybe at the right time. A lot of factors at work here. We're going to take a look at some of them. But I want to tell you, the show is brought to you by Tampadelphia. Advertising is allowed. I want to make sure we're going to be reaching an audience. And so far, it's been growing every week. The numbers are getting good. I just want to reach out to everybody and let you know that if you have a product to sell, if you have a service to sell, if you do something on the side as a hobby, whatever it is, if you have a position open in your company and you want to fill it with a good guy or gal from Philly with maybe the right skills and get people back in touch, we do a lot of things here for fellow Eagles fans. Give me a call at the studio. We can chat offline. The number is 657-383-1614. Not everything will be broadcast. Tampadelphia is a group of loyal diehards that meets every game at the Crown Plaza on Kennedy here in Tampa. And what we do is we watch, we eat, we drink, we cheer, we say hello, we slap, we high five, we sing Fly Eagles Fly. You know, we just have a good time because the whole theory behind Tampa Delphi is a really quality game day for you. It's not so much about me. My jollies for doing this is me not watching the game alone and everybody else having a good time. It's always been that for me. I'm not in it for the money. But I put together a good venue, and I try to put together a really good game day from top to bottom because, you know, you work hard all week. You really do. You've got your problems. You've got your deadlines, your obstacles, your mistakes. And along the way, you've got your morons, your fools, your idiots. And then you've got your pressures. You know, by the weekend, just leave me alone. I want to hide. Just give me 3 hours to get something good to eat and drink and watch my team. And that's where I come in. That's Tampa Delphi. We've got a good venue, good food. It's undergoing renovations right now, so it's not the best. It's not the most optimal. We're losing some square footage, but we've only two games left. And I'm delighted that we've been able to make it this far into the season and still be on site. There are always discussions going on about what to do, you know, down the road. But I just want to let you know that Tampa Delphi will continue. It's all about us for us. So, you know, if there's a, if you're looking for a good game day with a good group, good spirit, camaraderie, and a little bit of fun along the way, check us out. We will be doing more things next season than we did this season for a variety of reasons. But you know what? If that's what you want to do and you want to be around Eagles fans, we're about 100% Eagles fans in the room. So come on out, Crown Plaza on Kennedy. And I want to give you a little statistics now that we're getting back into the Eagles. Do you know the Eagles have won 3 times in the last 4 weeks? Yeah, 3 wins in the last 4 weeks. Think about it. That's called a hot team, right? We got 2 games left in the season. And we're peaking at the right time. I'm very excited about that. We are peaking at the right time. We still have a chance for a wild card. It's dependent upon some people losing and other people winning, like us. But for the most part, we can do this. And I would have thought that we were dead. I am extremely encouraged by what I saw with the Rams game. And I looked over the clips and audio and the interviews and everything else several times. I can tell you what, maybe you saw it too. The offense looked a lot smoother with Nick behind the wheel. I don't know if they're dumbing down the playbook for Nick. I've heard that over and over and over. But this whole Eagles thing is not about Nick versus Carson Wentz. A lot of media people are plugging that in because it's all they know. Oh, quarterback problem, quarterback controversy. That at all. Wentz is hurt, he knows it. He's gone outside the Eagles organization for a second opinion on his medical situation. Foles knows he's the backup. He knew he was the backup last year before he came in and won the Super Bowl. Then after the Super Bowl, he said, I'm still the backup. I want to stay in Philly. Here he is. He's the backup this year. Guess what? He's back in playing. Foles knows he's the backup. So everything is pretty crystal clear in my mind that it's not about Wentz versus Foles. However, Nick did come in, and for whatever reason, I got the feeling, the vibe, the look of the players on the field and the way the plays rolled, I got the feeling very strongly that these guys like playing for Nick Foles. Now, why is that? Why is that? Well, I got a theory. Nobody said it yet. The theory is that the players like playing for Nick because maybe – well, let me ask you a question. Do you think Carson Wentz is a pretty intense quarterback? I do. I think he's a pretty – I think he's a pretty fast-paced guy. I think he's extremely sharp. You know, he's big, he's strong, he's smart. He's perceptive. He can read the defense. He's got talent and skills. He's got size. He's got a lot of those things, but one of the things he does is he seems to have a 75-mile-an-hour pace about him. So he's always ready. He's always looking around, and he's always ready to throw the next pass. And Carson Wentz is a fast-paced guy. Flip the coin, and you got Nick. He's on the other side. Nick is like a 50-mile-an-hour guy or a 60-mile-an-hour guy in a 75-mile-an-hour game. He's a little slower. But you know what? It doesn't mean he's any less effective. He's effective because he's efficient. See, Carson Wentz has to check down a lot, and he's always looking for Ertz. Ertz is having a phenomenal year simply because Carson Wentz is always trying to hit him. He wants to get the ball out. He wants to get the play out. He wants to keep moving the chains. Boom. You know, 11 to 86, complete. On the other hand, Nick knows the play. Nick's holding the ball. Nick's looking around. Nick is spreading the ball around, which means he's either got a different playbook or he's checking off. Not that Carson Wentz isn't checking off. I don't mean to imply anything that Carson Wentz is doing wrong or not doing at all. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that Nick is working at his own pace, his own speed, and maybe he's got a different playbook going for him. But the players like playing for Nick because he does spread the ball around, right? Instead of Ertz having a good day, who had a good day? Did you say Alshon Jeffrey, number 17, 160 yards, was it, or 140? Doesn't matter. Really, the guy, he torched L.A. He had a great game. Acrobatic catches. He did extremely well. And along with his two sidekicks, Sproles and Adams, they managed to put together a fantastic offensive showing for us. So I think because it's the Rams that Doug Peterson and Jim Schwartz worked a little extra hard on the game plan and the playbook. I think they took a good hard look at what we needed to do. And we may have gone back to ball control. We may have put in some runs because of the embarrassing loss last week to them. I still don't say their name, where we only had 34 yards rushing in the whole game. Come on. Nick wants balance. Nick likes to spread it around. Nick goes on his whole thing of, I'm happy to be here. I love the karma of the place. I'm happy to be with the Eagles and in Philly, and I love doing this. He makes things happen. It's like doors open up, you know. I don't know what the guy has, but some people have an angel sitting on their shoulder. And, you know, angels could work for us. We have wings, right? Eagles have wings. So do angels. Oh, maybe Nick's got his own. So I think that Doug Peterson put in some plays, maybe from last year. Some of this stuff looks familiar. So did Jim Schwartz. Jim Schwartz had his eye on the game. I am extremely encouraged. I'm extremely encouraged by the play of the defense. Our defense was, I don't know if you picked it up or not, but the defense was monster. The first front four guys did a very, very nice job of containment and getting to Goff. Goff was rattled. Goff did not complete. He had some wild passes in there, and some just went out of his hands as fast as possible. Goff, I don't think Goff likes being dribbled around the football field by Fletcher Cox and Nagata and Bennett and Chris Long and, you know, some of the other guys that came blasting through. Most important, the play of your defensive backfield depends on the play of the front four. Okay, so when our front four has a good game, so do the defensive backs. But let's talk about the defensive backs for a minute. The defensive backs played a phenomenal game. And I'll tell you what, the guys I've picked on and have called out on this show, 32, Douglas, 24, Graham. Both those guys, another good game. They've had back-to-back games. They're playing hard football. They're hitting. What did you say, Paul? Paul said they're hitting. Paul said they're tackling. 24 with another pick. He had an interception last week and an INT the other day on Sunday. Let's add in number 34 and number 29. Maddox just came back off the IR. He has a pick. But these guys are hitting. They're tackling. They're foot for foot, stride for stride. They're playing physical football. And they're playing really good football. What do I see? Put that in a word. It's called confidence. They're getting confident out there. They're playing as a unit. They're gelling. They're coming together. And these are guys that – these are our backups. These are our backups because we still have our main talent on the injured reserve list that's not coming back this year. So these guys are showing things. Who gets the credit for this? Defensive backfield coach Corey Undlin. And he needs to step forward and take a bow. Coach, nice work. Nice job getting the guys pulled together and playing. Focused. You're teaching. You're training. It's working. We see it. Whew, man, between the defense up front, you know, the guy had a good day. It's good to see him back in there. Bennett was a beast. Bennett was making things happen. He was in Goff's face a lot. Cox was spinning people. Cox was just playing with authority out there. And we do not want to forget Chris Long. Chris Long has suddenly become, you know, like he's decided on this game I'm going to turn on the Jets. And the guy's on afterburners out there. He's just all over. So, you know, I'm going to get to stats and I'm going to talk about tackles and things like that. But suffice it to say, in the big picture overview right now, our defense is starting to peak, and it's looking really good. I feel really good going up against the Texans in Philadelphia. It's going to be a good game. Now, let's take a look at offense. You know, we have Carson Wentz, number 11, out for an injury. What's he do? He decides to go get a second opinion somewhere else outside of the Eagles medical staff. This could be the big story that hasn't broken yet. You probably don't know about it. A Tampa Delphia diehard told me about it because he missed it. And what I'm talking about is that the entire Eagles medical organization was cut loose either at the end of last season or at the beginning of the preseason. And, you know, there are guys going through rehab and training and things like that. So obviously you need the physicians and the medical staff during the offseason as well as the preseason. So I'm not sure at what point they were replaced by new people. But I wonder if there's a vote of no confidence from some of the players because of the injuries. It's amazing that we have this many injuries, but that some of them are taking this long is disturbing. I'm talking about Mr. Sidney Jones and some other people that keep having chronic recurring stuff happen, like Peters. I don't know. Peters, you know, you could say he's up in years. But these guys are in shape. These guys are very physical. They're very big men. They eat very well. Their nutrition and their health is monitored constantly. They have trainers. They have facilities. They have physicians. For them to start going outside the organization is telling me that either they want to speed things up or there's, you know, they don't feel as good about these doctors as they want to or could. So that's the deal there. And that might be the big story of the year, as you know, the Eagles coaches, or not coaches, Eagles doctors, excuse me. But Carson Wentz throws it to 86. Nick Foles spreads it around and throws it to Tate, Aguilar. He throws it to Adams. He throws it to Sproles, he throws it to Ertz, he throws it to Goddard, he throws it to Jeffrey. I mean, he spreads it around, and you know what else he does? He spreads around the credit, too. If you listen to his press conferences or his post-game interviews immediately after the game, the first thing he does, he talks about, you know, we got a great team, and it is a team. We all love, work, and respect each other very well. We're a family. We don't go bashing each other. We don't say it's this person's fault or that person's bad or that person's wrong. We're all in this together. We work very, very well together. We are a team. And you know what? It's coming back with Nick. And he gives that credit to everybody. You know, the guy is just on a human level. He's a far better man than I am. You know, I'll be the first to admit I've got some flaws that Nick doesn't seem to have. And he's just a patient, relaxed, aware guy that knows what's important in life, it seems. And players are picking up on that, maybe. I'm outside the locker room, folks. I don't have any special knowledge, and I haven't heard anything or read anything that makes me want to say these things, except for the fact that I'm putting two and two together based on what I see, based on the response and reaction of people around Foles as he does these things. And it looks like this is the ground that Nick is standing on. And I couldn't be more happy about that, because I think there's sportsmanship and humanity that should be in sports, not just beat, crush, and dominate. It's not that. It's a contest of abilities, not a destruction of a being. So Nick has been doing very, very well. He's had a very, very good game, and our defense has had a good game. Along with Nick on offense, we've already called out Mr. Jeffrey. 43 continues to impress. When Sproles gets the ball, the man is all energy. I mean, some guys can keep on cranking into their 40s. There's been a few players along the way that have been like that. Darryl Green was one, if you might remember, for the Redskins. Gee, Darryl's 41. When's he going to retire? Well, he's not ready yet. And it kept on going like that year after year after year, and he kept proving that he could still play. And you know what? Sproles might be that type of guy. I hope so. God bless you, Sproles. You're still running hard. You know, you're not babying it. And I'd like to see you back next year. I hope you'll stay an Eagle. And Josh Adams. I think Josh Adams has to be one of the best finds ever. When I look at some of the players we've got on our roster that are coming through and performing during these days of absolute need, I think back to Joe Douglas, who probably spotted these guys, saw what they had, knew how it would fit, and pulled them in. Howie, sign this guy. Let's get this guy for this spot and that spot. And, of course, that has to be clear by the coach, but I think Joe Douglas, knowing what he knows about personnel, can make a case for getting some of these guys in certain positions to be used in certain down and distance situations or in certain roles. And Joe Douglas, I think, has had a big unspoken part of what we're seeing on the field now. We're being competitive. If we go out this Sunday against Houston and we get crushed, are you going to hate the Eagles? Are you going to blame the players? Are you going to blame the coach? Are you going to blame Joe Douglas? What are you going to do? You're going to feel crappy. But don't. Hold your head up high. Hold it up high. These guys are playing. They're playing hard. They're playing with heart. Yeah, you can look back and say, we wasted some opportunities. We should have beat Dallas at least once. And you're right. We could have done it. But, hey, how long did it take for us to get started and score points in the first half? Almost half a season? How long did it take for us to finally closing out some games? And, you know, the fumble at the end of the Rams game. You know, a couple of weeks ago, this season, every bounce, everything went against us. Whereas the previous year, the Super Bowl season, we were getting those bounces. We were making those catches. Those deflections would come to us. Those bounces would come our way, right? What we saw at the end of the Rams game was that the special teams went down on kick coverage and were punt coverage. And you know what? We got the fumble recovery. That bounces are starting to go back our way. Yes, and we should have had that fumble recovery against Dallas, too. I know, I didn't mean to say that. Anyway, the deal is that the Eagles are coming back. They're getting the karma back, man. And, you know, that's good football. That's smart football. That's alert football. That's heads-up football. you're coaching these guys, but these guys are in it. Their eyes are open, their ears are open, their minds are working, their body's moving. I mean, these guys are playing football. So special teams did it. But, you know, on offense, we're seeing blocks. We're seeing guys move from the right side of the line to the left side of the line and make a block. We're seeing holes open up. We're seeing receivers flood a zone. We're seeing our receivers outrun the defenders. Our offense is starting to cook. Our offense is starting to sizzle. So, you know what? You hold your head high for these guys. Because of defense, you know what? I would take these guys into a firefight with me. I definitely would. These guys are men. And they're playing like men. They're getting wings on their chest, and they've got some backbone. So I like that. They've got steel down their back, and you know what? Don't you dare go down on these Eagles. And look, if we don't make the playoffs, we don't make the playoffs, right? Nobody can ever overcome the odds we did. We're lucky to be where we're at, considering what we faced all year long. And, yeah, some of it has been Super Bowl hangover. It's been intangible. So, but the bottom line is that we're here. We're in it. We're doing it. And without making it sound too much like a pep rally, I am extremely encouraged by what I'm seeing with this team. Do I think we're going to make wild cards? Ask me in a week. That's a cop-out if there ever was one. So, special teams had a real good game because of that fumble recovery. The defense had an extraordinary game with the pass coverages, but also the two interceptions on Goff. Also the sacks on Goff. I don't know if you've noticed the stats, but Goff got dirty. Thank you, Fletcher Cox. And the offense had a good game thanks to Nick Foles. Nick hung in there. Did you see Nick get hit a couple times after he released? He went down on the ground and got right back up again. But, you know, Nick took some shots. But I try not to repeat the talking heads on TV. I don't want to do anybody else's shtick. That's their stuff. They've done it. They've earned the right to say it. I'm going to stay off it. But there was one guy on TV, and he made a point. And it was a good point. And I will share it with you as we go about the Eagles and about Nick Foles. And just realize that Nick is not the reason for the win. There's multiple factors that came into play on this game. You know, they lost their most productive player. He went down, that running back, number 30. Can't remember his name. Begins with a G. Also, we had probably a little bit of a letdown by the Rams. Looking at the Eagles saying, hey, we could beat these guys, and not playing us as hard as they could. That's very important. We went a little soft after the Super Bowl, and guys figured that they were the best and they had earned the right to take a little break. They did it. They knew it, but they didn't realize the extent of what was up against them. Every team was a tidal wave of pounding, beating, and you know, I want to just whip you guys. So after going through that, I believe the players have said enough of that. We're gonna take control, and we're gonna give it back. So the offense has played extremely well. I got to call out Kelce. Kelce's doing a wonderful job at center. I thought he was done 2 or 3 years ago. I said, you know, they're gonna have to replace him. He's not that big. He's okay, but he's not the best. Well, he may be one of the best these past few seasons. And the guy's not going to go. He's like a big kid. He just loves playing this game. And it's great to have guys like that on the team because they remind you of what sports is. The heartbeat of sports is playing with your heart because of the love of the game. And, you know, it's great to see the pros do that, right? Instead of the paycheck. So, let's see. What else do we have here? front four on defense had a big game. Jim Schwartz has come out of the doghouse in a big way. He might be wooed away from the team next year. I'm concerned about that. Doug would have to replace an awful lot of guys in a very short period of time if Schwartz goes. Well, one big thing we did was we ran the ball. Josh Adams. Gosh, you know what? It's at the halfway mark of the hour, and I've got to give out the number. 657-383-1614. Come on, guys. If you want, you got something to say about the Eagles, give us a call. Now, I started saying that there was a confluence of events that occurred, and we just happened to catch the Rams. I don't want to say we caught them napping. They're a pretty good team, and you know they were fighting pretty darn hard to come back in that game in the second half. But I'm very surprised with the Eagles scoring first and hanging in there. So I don't want to minimize the win by saying that the Rams took us light. Well, maybe they did a little bit, but they fixed that in a hurry. We still have a chance for a wild card. We ran the ball. Thank you. We ran the ball. And they weren't all screenplays, which was good. Sproles had some fantastic plays. Josh Adams might be the next Tom Wittichick. How far back did I pull that one out? When was the last time we had a really good fullback? Was it Kevin Turner? Who was our last good fullback? Well, we had a few along the way that were pretty good. We've had a lot of good running backs. You know, and we're getting some good ones again when Ajayi comes back. I hope they keep Ajayi. I was sorry to see Blunt go. If they let Ajayi go as well as Blunt, then, man, you better have something up your sleeve. It's pretty important to have a very, very balanced game. Balance. And Nick Foles knows that. Nick Foles was the one that asked for the runs. So it's been said. 43 continues to impress. He still has a pair of legs on him. 33 is just a beast. I started to check off in my mind who were the players that were out with injuries this year. And, of course, you got to start with Carson Wentz, number 11. He's the franchise, right? Ajayi, he was out. We had Jeffrey was out for a while, remember, in the beginning of the season. We had, I was going to say Peters, he's in and out, but I believe he was out for a little bit, so that's four. We also had Sproles out, number 5. And we had on the defense Barnett. Barnett's the man. He's 6. Jernigan is 7. Hicks is 8. Darby is 9. McLeod is 10. We had another cornerback, Josh Sweat, is 11. Jordan Malaita on the offensive line, the rugby guy, is 12. I mean, that's just working off the top of my head without notes. I'm sure that you could think of one or two that I've missed that I know I've missed, and they're probably prominent players. We had one of our defensive linemen was out in addition to Jernigan. Can't think of it. But when you add it up, that's an awful lot of talent. Maragos on special teams, right? He's a gunner, so got to put him in at 13. There's 13 right there. Like I said, there's probably one or two more that you can think of. That makes for a real long season and a very disappointing one. And the Super Bowl hangover seems to be corrected. The coaches have got their sense of urgency back. The players are starting to really understand and feel the pressure of what they're facing, what's going to happen and what's not going to happen. Guys are still playing for their jobs. They're still desperate, but guys are still playing for their jobs. But I'll tell you what, some of these guys can come in and do the job. Nice to see that. We have the Texans coming up. You've got two guys on their defensive line that are just monsters. So we have to do a really, really, really good job of protecting Nick. So our guys that we have on the offensive line have – I know we have a good offensive line coach. I just can't think of his name right now. But he reports up to Mike Groh. And Mike Groh has got to do a real good job with that offensive line coach to make sure that Nick, A, has the protection, or B, they've got the plays in that are going to get the ball out fast so Nick doesn't get beat up and pounded on all day long. Houston is a very tough team. They're already in the playoffs. They've got nothing to lose. To them, it's a game for stats, right? So the motivations may not be that high, but they don't want to lose. And the value for us is that it is yet another litmus test of how well we're doing and how far we might go. Right now, I don't think if we get in the playoffs, I doubt that we're probably going to get out of the first round. But you never know. A lot of us have speculated this week that is Nick going to do it again and go all the way? I just don't want to go there. I just don't want to talk about that. The jinx. Well, we're winding down. We're coming into the final. We're within the final 10 minutes of the show. If you want to call, 657-383-1614. Tampa Delphia, Crown Plaza on Kennedy. Mojito's Lounge. Currently undergoing renovations, but we have other options for large crowds. So if you are coming to Tampa Delphia this weekend for the 1 o'clock game against Houston, you will have a chair. You will have a chair. Fear not. I am in touch with management, and I will be I will be talking with them quite a bit about the details for Sunday, but I promise you we will have capacity. So Crown Plaza on Kennedy, ladies, families, daughters, welcome, children, welcome, grandparents, welcome, sons, cousins, family from out of town, bring them all. We've got room, we've got screens, we've got food, drink, beverage, we've got, the ambiance isn't that hot. I mean, they're tearing the hotel down, they're going to be doing renovations, so it's not going to be as cool as it usually is, but it's still an Eagles crowd, and we still cheer. So if you want that kind of place where you can actually hear the game instead of these, I don't know what you want to call these people that just never put down microphones and keep chatting through the whole game. If you want to just blow that off, really hear football or talk with somebody else without all that background blather, come on out. We've got a 200 level, 300 level type of game day experience. It's not a dive bar. Never will be. Some of us have outgrown that. So we're looking for a nice experience. It doesn't have to be expensive. You don't have to show up and spend a lot of money. You don't have to show up and spend any money. Just come in, sit down, and cheer. So that's it. Let's get back to this. Where do I think we're going to go? What do I think is going to happen? Well, I think if Doug can stay on his game and Jim Schwartz, I think we've got a good shot against Houston. Did I really say that? Yeah, I do. I think the Eagles are young enough where they have speed on their side. I think with Golden Tate, Aguilar, and Jeffrey, I think we've got three speedy guys that can come right off the line. And just to hell with these pass rushers, we'll get the ball out before these guys can even get to us. And I think that could be a good game plan because we are quick and we're big too. The Eagles are a big team. We're physical. We're not a bunch of small little yabbers that are out there running around like, bugs. So I think we've got a good shot against Houston. I think we've got a good shot to make a wild card there. I'm the guy that's always in front of the room saying we're going to lose 117 to something. But our guys are stepping up. They're coming forward. And, you know, that's kind of a cliche, but the cliche fits. So good luck, Eagles. Good luck having a great game day. With that, I'm going to wind down. I've said all I can say, and I don't want to run laps with the same information and waste your time. But I do want to be able to just congratulate the Philadelphia Eagles on another win. And I want to say yay to the Philadelphia Eagles fans. You know, it feels good to have that win against the Rams. That was a team that hurt Carson Wentz last year. And it feels real good to see Nick Foles back at doing what Nick does. He didn't miss a step. So, congratulations, Philadelphia, the team and the fans. I look forward to the game on Sunday. Come to Tampadelphia if you can, Crown Plaza on Kennedy. We have capacity, we have food and drink, and plenty of beer. Come on down, relax, cheer, have fun. Join us. No charge, no cover, no dues, no anything. And I'll see you on Facebook under Tampadelphia Eagles. Again, Facebook, Tampadelphia Eagles. And if there's anything you want me to address, you can always reach me by email, paul@tampadelphia.com. So with that, I'm going to bid you good night. Go Eagles. Go Eagles fans. Thank you for tuning in. We've had another quick, about 45 minutes of show. And that said, I'm going to call it a night. Go Eagles. Happy dreams. See you Sunday.